Well, as we've been discussing this morning, the Federal Parliament resumes today. This is the final sitting week of the year, and it's shaping up to be a busy and bruising affair. The Prime Minister is facing mounting calls to sack his Attorney General, George Brandis, for the so-called secret deal that favoured the WA government over federal taxpayers and other creditors in the distribution of the Bell Group's assets. And then there's Nick Xenophon threatening to blow up the government's legislative agenda unless South Australia receives more water under the Murray-Darling Basin plan. Penny Wong is the leader of the opposition in the Senate, and she joins us in our Parliament House studios. Senator Wong, good morning.
Good morning. Good to be with you, Fran.
Let's start with George Brandis. Labor says he should be sacked. What proof do you have that he acted against the Commonwealth's interest in this High Court case involving the Bell Group?
Well, I think the revelations on Friday were extraordinary. What they indicated was that Senator Brandis has been part of an arrangement that effectively cheated taxpayers out of money in order to do a deal with his political mates. I mean, this is, at worst, corruption, at best, moral bankruptcy, that you do a deal to cheat taxpayers of money.
Well, hang on,
political gain.
Hang on, why is it corruption if you're doing the deal that helps the taxpayers of WA? It's not like they're trying to help their mates, they're trying to help the taxpayers of WA, aren't they?
This is about the first law officer of the land saying, we're not going to apply the law because some Liberal government mates have asked me not to. That's what the allegation is. I mean, it is difficult to contemplate a more serious allegation against an Attorney General. And what should happen, Fran, is the Attorney General should attend the Senate at 10 a.m. today and give a full explanation. So far, he has refused to do so. He was asked questions about this previously. He's not answered them. He was asked questions about the stories that broke on Friday, and he has refused to respond. It is time for him to behave accountably. He should turn up to the Senate, give an explanation, and frankly, Malcolm Turnbull should make him do so.
According to the reports, and we spoke about them here on Friday, here on Breakfast, last week, it was Joe Hockey, then Treasurer, who negotiated this deal, if it's true, if indeed this deal was done with WA. And the Attorney General's role in it was to advise the Solicitor General to not run a particular constitutional argument in the High Court when this matter of the Bell Group's creditors came into the High Court.
Well, 2 points about that. First,
Is that corruption?
Well, 2 points about that. First, it is completely inappropriate. So somebody who is charged with being the first law officer, upholding the law, upholding the Constitution and the law, to instruct a Solicitor General not to run a particular proposition because it is politically inconvenient. That is utterly inappropriate. And frankly, it makes it all very clear now what the dispute with Mr. Gleeson was. But the second point I make is this. It's all very well for the government to background to give the blame, lay the blame at Joe Hockey's feet. We know from what was said in the Western Australian Parliament that there are a number of ministers with serious questions to answer about this. Christian Porter was identified as being part of this arrangement, of knowing about this arrangement in the Western Australian Parliament, as was Kelly O'Dwyer. So those ministers really do need to be to front up and explain their actions as well.
Well, when you say front up, the Greens are pushing for an inquiry under the Senate's Legal and Constitutional Affairs Committee. Does Labor support that? And I could be wrong here, but the Senate can't force ministers from the other house to come before it, can it?
Well, look, we're always happy to have an inquiry. We moved an inquiry into the Gleeson matter, the direction preventing the Solicitor General from providing advice without the permission of the Attorney General, which becomes very clear now, becomes quite patent now what that was all about. But I think there's a first step, which is Senator Brandis should attend the chamber. I mean, he is accountable to the chamber, and through the parliament, he's accountable to the Australian people. It is the primary mechanism for accountability. We sit in just under 2 hours. He should front up to the chamber and give his version of events, which so far he has refused to do.
But if there is a committee, and it's slated to be a very quick one, so you might wonder whether it's more politics than actual trying to get to the bottom of this, but would you be calling on Senator Brandis to address that?
Well, I mean, we're always open to have discussions about committees. As I said, the committee should also, if it's set up, should also examine the behaviour of other ministers, the involvement of other ministers. But I do want to say this, the committee is not a substitute for a minister attending the chamber and doing the honourable thing, which is to give the explanation to the chamber that is due.
Let's go to the week in the Senate, because it's going to be a very busy one. Senator Brandis aside, includes the ABCC, the Australian Building and Construction Commission bill, and the backpackers tax. The Prime Minister dearly wants the ABCC fixed before Christmas, and I would say he needs the backpackers tax fixed before Christmas. But everything's been put on go slow a little because of the dispute with Senator Nick Xenophon over water. We now know the Prime Minister is now directly involved in this. And Nick Xenophon wants the extra 450 gigs that he says was guaranteed by the Murray-Darling Basin plan. The government says, well, it was an additional allegation contingent on there not being negative impact on communities upstreams. You're a South Australian. You've got a keen interest and understanding of the Murray-Darling Basin plan, I know. What do you believe? Was this a guarantee, this 450 gigs, and was the federal government preparing to walk away from that and some of the states?
Oh, look, and I'm a former water minister for my sins as well. And let me tell you, this was a hard-fought plan. I mean, this is a plan that we took to the 2007 election. Malcolm Turnbull announced it prior to that election, was unable to get the states to agree. And over the period we were in government, we managed to hammer out a deal. And, you know, I think it's very important that we actually stick to the deal.
So are you cheering Nick Xenophon on then in his negotiations?
We've already said the deal has to be honoured. You know, we've come out very clearly as all South Australian Labor MPs and senators held a press conference last week saying we are all behind the deal and Malcolm's got to deliver the deal. Well, let's understand what is actually occurring here. As part of a deal to get the Prime Ministership, Mr Turnbull agreed to a range of things. Obviously, one of them was on marriage equality and blocking the way on that. But more importantly for the purpose of this discussion, he agreed to give water to a National Party person, which was Mr Joyce. We know what Mr Joyce thinks on water. He already said prior to the 2010 election that people should move to where the water is. He's already said that. Now, he wrote a letter saying we can't deliver it. Mr Turnbull now wants Nick Xenophon, Penny Wong and every South Australian to believe, oh, well, he didn't really mean it. Well, the problem is we know he did.
Well,
and Mr Turnbull's got a problem of his own making because he's handed the National Party the water portfolio where they simply believe that the agreement should be implemented.
That might be the backstory to it. And you're right, that some of the Nats are cheering Barnaby Joyce on for his
correct
position on this. But nevertheless, the plan does say that the social and economic elements of communities need to be taken into account. So if 450 gigs is going to strip those communities upriver of basically their livelihoods, should this deal be honoured? Or should there be more effort, which is, I understand, what Nick Xenophon's trying to get in place with the Prime Minister, on efficiencies upstream? Is that where, to be frank, your government and this government have dropped the ball, really?
Well, I don't accept that we dropped the ball at all. I mean, we purchased water for the environment. We got in place the first agreement to deliver health to the Murray-Darling Basin between all the states and the federal government in the nation's history. So I reckon that is a very important milestone. And not one that you want to take credit for. It's one you want to deliver.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we should do. The point is this. We need to understand that every path you take when it comes to the Murray-Darling, it has impacts. So you say, well, there's social and economic impacts upstream. Well, let me tell you, during the drought, we had salinity levels at the end of the river, which were extraordinarily high, which could have compromised Adelaide's water supply if they were not dealt with quickly enough.
Okay.
Now, so there are social and economic impacts, whatever way you look at it. The key thing is to deliver the plan and to stop Barnaby doing what he seems to want to do, which is to blow this up for political gain upstream.
All right. Two quick questions, Senator, if you don't mind, on the backpacker tax. Time is fast running out for a compromise. The fruit growers of Australia are looking on, feeling helpless, really. Now we look as though there's a path to a compromise from the government's 19% position to the Pauline Hanson recommendation for 15% tax on these backpackers, these working holiday makers. Will Labor support a compromise to try and get this resolved for basically the confidence of the fruit growers?
Well, let's understand the reason the backpackers tax is now currently at 32.5% to commence next year.
Yeah, but we've got a compromise now before us.
And I'll respond to you on that, is because the government put it in their 2015 budget. So it is all very well for the National Party to now be saying you should compromise. Well, it was in this government's budget. Let's be clear about that. that. Now, we've put forward a position in the Senate of 10.5. We think that is a sensible position. The government shifted from its budget position of 32.5 to 19. Now they're floating 15. I mean, what is going on?
Well, compromise is what the Senate does best. Will Labor be part of this compromise so that the fruit growers get some solace here?
Well, we've already put forward a clear position, 10.5. That's the position that we've been supporting. It's a position supported by the overwhelming majority of the crossbench.
So Labor would rather stick to that even if it meant the compromise couldn't happen and the growers are going to be stuck with the higher rate.
Well, the growers should be talking to the government as to why they put a 32.5% rate in their budget.
Okay. Can I just ask you finally, a Fairfax Ipsos poll today in the Fin Review shows support for the major parties has dropped. Primary support, Labor's dropped 5% since the election in July to 30% primary vote. Coalition down 6 points to 36. But Greens and Independents combined make up a whopping 34% of the primary vote. Now, I know we're not at election time, but that's a significant shift going on. Are you concerned about that, that the major parties basically only can attract between them two-thirds of the electorate support?
Look, I can understand why a lot of people, often turn off politics, and I can understand why some people
turn off the major parties.
I think turn off a lot of politics, and easy slogans are often an answer. We've got to work harder as a Labor Party. We know that. We've got to work harder on jobs, focusing particularly on jobs, health, and education, which are core Labor policies. I think the problem for the government is that they are so divided, whether it's on water, whether it's Mr. Abbott rocking up yesterday, basically telling Malcolm Turnbull how to run the government and making it clear he's not done. And the government is extraordinarily divided, and the problem that they have is that is distracting them from governing. So I'm unsurprised people have turned away from the government.
Penny Wong, thank you very much for joining us.
Good to speak with you.
Penny Wong is Shadow Foreign Minister and Opposition Leader in the Senate. And on the George Brandis matter, we did seek an interview with the Attorney-General, but he was unavailable. It's 8:17 on Breakfast.